I'm going to be sharing today, but I'm not going to be alone. And I'm glad to have some help along the way that we will be introducing. We've got Janice Effenberg. John McCann, is Daphne with you? She's
here, but won't be there.
She won't be there, huh? Well, I was told she might be up here. Okay, well, anyway, we've got an exciting story, and Debbie Pellerin, we're glad to see all of these. So we've got to keep right on time, but I wanted to start with telling us about Conversations Live. You know, we've been talking about conversations with Jesus the past several weeks and months, and I think that this Pastor Bob's sermon series has been really great. Have you been blessed with that? Amen? Amen. And he likes to keep all of the focus going in the same vein, but as we were talking about what to do this Sabbath, he said, John, let's do something a little bit different. Let's incorporate some good stories about conversations that people have with Jesus. Now, when we think about a conversation with Jesus, you'd like to sit down and be able to talk with him, amen? Maybe like Nicodemus. But you know, as I think about what Jesus and you and I have the privilege of doing from time to time, is we are in a place where we can do conversations that we can initiate with Jesus. Amen? Do you regularly initiate conversations with Jesus? As I think about a text that would go along with this, Luke chapter 11. If you have your Bible, you want to look there. It's a great, great passage. Great passage about prayer. You see, Jesus was praying in a certain place. And after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Just as John also taught his disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. We need to know how to pray, amen? We need the Lord to teach us how to pray. And of course, Jesus is the master teacher, amen? Who better to learn from than Jesus? As we look at what Jesus is doing, he says, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Verses 9 and 10 there in Luke 11. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. And it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. We need to come knocking on heaven's door, amen? I think of that wonderful text that Evangelina and I found so very important through our lives together. And I was trying to think how this text came to be our favorite text, and I couldn't remember. It just seemed like it always was. Text in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 and following. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, or for peace, various translations. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. And what is the promise? I will listen. One of the things Evangelina likes when she's talking with me is she wants to see my eyes, to know that I'm listening and hearing and understanding. It's very important, right, for communication. I'm finally getting it, I think, a little bit. And then in verse 13 and 14, you will seek me. Who are we seeking? God. You will seek me and you will find me when you search for me, how? With all your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes. I like the definition of prayer, that prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. You can tell your friend whatever challenges you may have in your life. Sometimes it's a desperate situation. If you've ever come to that place in your life where things just, it seemed like everything was dropping out. I remember back in 1982, I was working at Faith for Today. I loved my job there. I worked in the Bible school as an instructor for a while, and I was the field services associate director for the ministry, and also a Bible school counselor. But if you remember back in the early 80s, the economy was tanking. The church went through financial crises. And I remember Elder Matthews and the treasurer, Mr. Stewart, called me into the office one day right after the first of the year. And they said to me, you know that the General Conference has pulled our appropriations, $265,000 out of the budget, over $250,000 gone. They've told us that we have to continue our ministry just on donations. But that means that we're going to have to cut back. And so the dream job went away. And I started calling conferences and unions and general conference trying to find work. Nothing available anywhere. Nobody was hiring. Everybody was just trying to maintain. And so we were out. We had one appointment that Evangelina had been called to Milo Academy to be a guest artist for the senior benefit program on Saturday night. I think this was probably early in February. And as a part of that trip, she gave a concert at one of the churches near Milo Academy. And as we were traveling back home, we were wondering whether God was calling us into this kind of a ministry since no other doors were opening. And when we got back to Tahunga, the little home that we had bought from an Adventist realtor who had worked at Voice of Prophecy, Lloyd McGuire, we knelt down in our living room and we said, Lord, if you want us to go into a faith ministry to travel about the country, sharing your gospel, your message, and song, and seminars, and weeks of prayer, we want you to sell our home before we have to make the next payment. You see that little extra thing on there at the end before we have to make the next payment was desperate because we didn't have any money coming in. And the payment was due within 2 weeks. I know some of you have been in desperate situations like that. Amen? We got up from our knees, and this was on a Tuesday night. And I went to the phone and I called Lloyd, who was a very good friend. We were giving prayer meeting at his church there in La Cañada, which was just a few miles from our home. And I told him, Lloyd, we've decided to sell. And so I was wondering when you were going to do that. He says, I'll try, but I want you to remember that in the last 2 years, I've only sold two homes. And yours is one of them. And he got it, he sold it to us for interest only. So he wasn't really making a profit. He was just covering his costs of his loan. But he was being very generous to us. And he says, I'll price it out and I'll let you know what happens. The next morning, he got a call from him. And Lloyd said, John, you're not going to believe what's happened. He said, I went to the office this morning and put a price on your home. He says, I hadn't even told anybody that your place was for sale. And another realtor calls and says, how much is that place going for on Hill Haven and how soon can the people move out? Thursday night, we signed the papers. God has ways to answer our prayers that we don't even begin to know. He puts things into operation. A for sale sign on the lot next to our home was the only thing that they were going on. But they didn't want the lot. They wanted the house. Praise God for that. I'm so thankful that God is a God who hears and answers prayer. We took the prophets that we had only been in the home for less than 2 years, and the Lord gave us a profit of over $11,000. We put a down payment on a motor home, and we traveled in that little mobile motor home that was 18 feet from back bumper to front bumper that went about here. And we traveled all across the United States up into Canada and other places, 100,000 miles in 3 years. We had no income guaranteed, but what God gave us through the generosity of people as we traveled from place to place. We could tell many stories like this, but we have others. Janice, God's been working with you in some marvelous ways. What's He been doing in your life? And how has your experience been in this? I want to put your Janice up.
God is an amazing God.
Amen.
And, you know, we all know the acronym.
Oh, let me get you a microphone here. The blue one.
God is an amazing God, isn't He?
Amen.
And we all know that acronym of JOY. Jesus first, others next, and yourself last. Well, my father, he came to live next door to us in 2008. He was 93 years old and needed somebody to be around. And it was a good move for him and a good move for us. Mother had passed away in 2006, and he was all alone in a big house. And it was an answer to prayer how he came to live with us next door. He was our prayer warrior. He prayed for everyone. Anybody that needed had a need, they would call my dad because they knew that he had a connection with God and he would put them in their prayers. Our family knew that. And when he passed away, before he passed away, actually, he became rather ill and needed 24/7 care. It was more a weakness than an illness, but he needed somebody with him. And so John and I took care of him for 24/7 a day for 11 months. And he passed away, and it was a great loss to all of us. But it was what a privilege it was to have my dad and get to know him not only as my dad, but as a wonderful friend. After he passed away, I was concerned about our family because there were so many of our family members, even though they were raised in the church, they were not attending church. And who were they going to call for prayer when they needed prayer like they did for my with my dad? And I was very concerned about this. And so I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, what can I do to help my family members to know that you are number one and that we need to have you in our lives and be faithful? And one morning, as I was soon after I had prayed that prayer, I was reading my devotional book, The Upward Look. Are you familiar with that book? It's by Ellen White. Devotionals that have been put together, and it is an amazing book. And I thought, man, I wish each one of my family members could read this book. But I knew that if I sent them this book, how many would put it on the shelf? It's a rather thick book, and wouldn't really get the gems out of it. Every paragraph is a gem. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, why don't I just put together a devotional for each of us? And so I would take each page, and I would type it on my computer in three sections in three separate days, and type a thought for the day from that those paragraphs. I would use those paragraphs. And then I added to it three chapters in the Bible, two from the Old and one from the New. And I thought, this is a way we can read the Bible together.
Amen.
So I did this, and I put together a letter, and I sent it after I had gotten this all together on my computer. And each day it would be a half sheet. And I wanted them to have space to write either a journal of prayer for that day or a thought from what they had been reading. And my first letter to them, I'm only going to read a section of it. This is what I put together each. I put together 20 days at a time, and then I send it out twice a month, so that they get a letter from me and of encouragement. But I started out my first letter. I said, in my daily devotional, I am reading the book, The Upward Look. It is about our relationship with God with helpful words of wisdom. I would like for you to enjoy the gems in your devotional time with the Lord as well. So I am sending a copy of my daily guide to you. To journalize my thoughts and prayers during this time in the early morning also is helpful to me, so I thought I would share with you a daily opportunity to also take time out of your busy schedule to read a thought for the day and a couple of chapters from the Bible each day. You may already have what works for you, and if so, this is not to take the place of what you are already doing. I didn't want them to feel like I thought they weren't doing anything. So I tried to word it in such a way that they wouldn't be offended. Amen. And I sent it out to 28 people. Not all of them are family members. A couple of my friends have learned that I have been doing this, and they requested that they give them a copy. So I do that as well. Judy Jeffries was very good to me. She loaned me a three-hole punch so that I wouldn't have to punch these holes out one by one. And that has saved me a lot of time. And it's been a real blessing to me. I also have given it to my youngest son's significant other. She is not a Seventh-day Adventist. She was raised a Baptist, a Presbyterian, but she had not been going to church for a long time. Since she's been receiving these, she was talking to my son, my youngest son, who has not been attending church. He's one of them that I'm really praying for. And she said, you know, I want to start going back to church, and I want you to go with me. And he said, well, if I'm going to go back to church, it will be on the day that we are supposed to go. And she said, well, what day is that? And he said, the seventh day is the Sabbath. So, you know, and then when I see my nieces or any of my family members, they are so thrilled to get this, and they appreciate it so much. They give me hugs and thank me, and I know that it's all God and what he does for us. You know,
amen.
When we think about others, we especially think of our family, because our family is so important to each and every one of us. And I know that you're praying for your family members as well as I am. Yes. And so let's keep God in our plans, and he will show us the way how we can reach out, and we can be so thankful that we have God in our lives.
Thank you. And maybe we can all pray for Janice and this ministry, that it will increase even more.
This is the book that this is the book we put together, and it has the daily studies each day, and they can write their devotional prayers. And this is my third one.
Well, praise the Lord.
The days add up.
Praise the Lord. God bless. John McCann, we have you next. And Daphne, if she chooses to come up. Wonderful, exciting story about a lost tire, I understand.
Yeah. So, the... you know, it's interesting with God. I appreciate Janice because, you know, you've got a mission and your vision and you're acting on it. And my walk with God is maybe a little different. Mine kind of goes through, like, little peaks and valleys. And so my conversations all deal in my head. So I have a lot of conversations with God in my head. And so some of you know that I had purchased a boat, and so I've been slaving over this boat to get it ready to go. And so I've got it all redone. And so we take it out. This is about the fourth time that we've taken it out. And on our way back, it was a Friday, we'd taken it out, enjoyed our time out there, and we went out to Hogan. So we were coming back. It's about 40 minutes from my house. And we're about literally 3 minutes from our house, maybe eighth of a mile from my house. And, well, let me back up 1 second. So as we're coming home, I feel the trailer kind of just bounce a little bit. So, but it was dark. I didn't really see anything, so I looked back, nothing, no big deal. So that was about 2 miles, and now I'm about 2 minutes from my house. And I feel another bump on my trailer, and this tire goes rolling by me, and I'm like, what? And I look in my rearview mirror, and I see sparks flying off the trailer where the tire had come off, and now the trailer is dragging behind me. And, of course, the kids are kind of, what's going on? I'm like, it's all right. It's under control. So I stop, and I'm kind of a little shocked. This has never happened to me before. The trailer is a tandem axle trailer, which means it has two tires on each side. So that first little bump that I'd felt 2 miles earlier was the first tire leaving my trailer. And the second one that was passing me was the second tire that was dropping on. So it was... So we got over the shock a little bit. I'm like, okay, whatever. So we were very, very close to my house, which was nice. So I just parked the truck. Now, mind you, it's pitch black out where we are. Tell everybody to stay in the truck. I go. I said, Tracy, go see if you can find the tire. And so she huddles around. And so anyway, I go to the house. I take some tires off my Mustang, which they originally pilfered off of, but that's another story. Anyway, take some tires back so I can put on the trailer and limp my trailer into my driveway. Well, Tracy has found one of the tires, so I was able to put one of them back on, got the other one. Anyway, I was able to get the trailer back to the house. And meanwhile, in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, crud. right? What am I doing? What, how am I going to fix this? And so, of course, the immediate reaction is, okay, God, help me find the tire. Okay, help me get, make this okay. Make it just work. And nothing's happening. We found one tire. I'm still missing one. So I have three alike. And as a guy, I'm thinking, really, where am I going to find one wheel to match the other ones that has the same condition? I have one new wheel on one side. I mean, like, just help me find the one wheel. And so so we pray, and we go out and we look. We've got spotlights, kind of redoing our route all the way back to 88, Highway 88, and where we are, and can't find anything. Looking, looking, looking. I'm like, all right, forget it. We're done. We're going to go back. This is, it was like 10 o'clock at night by this time. And on Saturday, Sabbath, we had to go up and get Declan from Oregon. He was up at Milo Academy doing a mission trip up there. And so that morning, Sabbath morning, I take a walk. I go, I'm going to go walk, and as I'm walking, I'm going to look through bushes to see if I see my tire someplace. So, nothing. I'm like, all right, it's time to go. Tracy, let's pack up. Let's go to Oregon. So we go to Oregon on Saturday. We pick up Declan, and we spend the night. We come back Sunday. Now, we're back a little early, about 4 o'clock. I said, you know what? I'm going to take the long route home, and I'm praying. All right, God, I know we didn't find it Friday. I know we didn't find it Saturday. Can you, is it possible that you could help me find it today? And kind of in my heart thinking, well, you know, I've been praying about some other things in my life. I've been praying about bigger things in my life. Silence. Right? Not really heard anything. The whole, my prayers hit the roof, ceiling kind of stuff. So I'm kind of praying. I'm like, well, all right. So we take the long route back to our house. And right as we get back into our neighborhood, Declan tells us a story. Declan goes, so Dad, he goes, when I was up at Milo, we had this incident. Now, I don't know if it took place with your group. Did it take a, okay, so it was a group. It was a story that was told to his group. And he said there was 40 kids that went out on this trip, and somehow 80 kids, and somehow 40 lunches were lost. So they had 40 lunches and 80 kids. And so I guess the group of leaders there got together, they prayed over these 40 lunches and said, Lord, if it's possible, make these 40 lunches feed these hungry 80 teens. And so they did. They had 12 lunches left over after they fed the 80. So now, what story does that remind you of in the Bible?
Feeding.
The feeding, right? They had 12 barrels left over. The students there had 12 lunches left over. So I'm like, hey, Declan, that's a great story. In my mind, I'm going, I just need one lunch. It's called the tire. Okay? If you could do that, just could you help me, Lord? And so along this time, meanwhile, I had told Daphne to look out the right side of the car, and Declan to be looking out the left side of the car. I go, just keep your eyes peeled. Anytime you see anything that resembles a tire that we're looking for, I will stop. I don't care what it is. So, of course, Daphne goes, I think I see it. I'm like, okay. So I stop. No, it's just a can. I know it's reflective, but that's okay. It's not exactly what we're looking for. So Declan, up a little bit, wrote, hey, I think I see it. No, that's just a tire skin. It's not the whole thing. I'm looking for the whole thing. And so we're going, and Daphne goes, I think I see it. I'm like, well, okay. We're going to stop like we always have. So we stopped, and I go, where do you think it is? She's like, well, I think it's over there. Well, where? Well, just stop, Dad. It's over there. And so I stop, and we start to go into this walnut orchard. One row in. Walnuts. They're in full season if you didn't know that. They're big. Okay? So we go in one row. Two rows. Three rows. Four rows. Seven rows. Eight rows. Nine rows in this walnut orchard. And there the tire is standing upright against the base of one of the walnut trees.
Wow.
Nine rows. Next time you drive by a walnut orchard, just look how deep how far down that is. And my daughter saw this. And I think, do you think she really saw it? I kind of think that God said, hey, Daph, look that way. And she saw that thing. She goes, I think I saw it. And, you know, the joy of this little tire and wheel. just like overwhelming. I'm like, what? You got to be kidding me. I found the tire and wheel. We found it. Amen. And I was excited. I was very, very excited about this. And of course, Daphne was, yeah, look, you know, God found it for us. And God found it for us, right? And so my joy and my, you know, over a little tire and wheel, right, was like way high. And so after my excitement had dropped down just a little bit, now remember, prior I had said that I've been praying about a lot of big things, right, with nothing. When we found the tire and my joy had kind of settled down a little bit, I kind of felt this, hey, John, I am listening. And you kind of feel, okay, God. And it's kind of interesting because that's kind of how God is, right?
Amen.
I think he's not listening. I think he's not really paying attention. I pray. I don't necessarily get the response I want. Sometimes I'm doing my Bible study, and I think I'm doing really good, right? And but yet, I still am human, like all of you, and we have this struggle. Is God real? Is he really listening to me? Is it all hocus pocus? And then something very, very simple like this takes place. And I'm excited to find the tire and wheel, and God is excited to tell me that he's listening to me.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for that. Amen. And so don't ever think that what's going through your mind or what you're saying is not being heard by God, because it is. And I know Jerry's got a song for this, but regardless of what's happening in your heart, God is listening to you.
Amen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, that's probably true, too.
Let's go back here. I'll need that for Debbie. Wasn't that exciting? Amen. You know, I was thinking of Luke 15, the lost coin, lost tire, lost sheep, and lost kid. God's love knows no bounds, and no detail of our lives is too small. Debbie, come and share with us what God's been doing in your life.
Thank you, John. Well, I promised to make it short because I don't want to get Pastor John in trouble.
Pastor John's plenty able to do that himself, I think.
Yes, I've heard. Anyways, I just wanted to start out with, there are never any accidents with God, and including each and every one of you. You know, we are wonderfully made and perfectly made, and we all have a purpose, all of us. And we may not discover what it is for a really long time, but we do have one. And my story begins when I was little. I was raised Seventh Adventist, and my parents were wonderful. And my dad was so serious, you know. He'd make us, even if we were hurrying out the door, my dad would, we have to do this right. And we would pray before we all left and parted ways. He was a wonderful dad. And anyways, when I was in seventh grade, I gave my heart totally and completely to him, to Jesus. But I didn't get baptized because in eighth grade, my parents divorced and everybody went their ways and everything went crazy and the world flooded in and life changed as I had known it. And I walked in the world for a long, long time. And as you probably, a lot of you know, when you do that, a lot of scars are made. But Jesus can heal them all.
Amen.
And he certainly does. Anyways, Pastor John asked me to share with you how God works in my life and my prayer life, because prayer, to me, is everything. It's the key. It's It's our friendship with him. He tells us where to go, who to be, how to be, and recovers us because we can't recover without him. And as I turned today to Pastor John's first text, I flip-flopped the text, and I went instead of 11:1, I went to 1:11 in Luke. And it's kind of interesting because this was what I was going to share with you in my prayer life and how I learned how to pray, and that's through the sanctuary. And 1:11 says, while Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the incense altar. And what does the incense altar?
Prayer.
It represents prayer, right? And in the sanctuary. And then this morning's Sabbath school was all about sanctuary in our discipleship class. So nothing is ever an accident with God.
Amen.
Even how many years we might wander in that horrible desert and famine when we don't have God, it's all for a purpose. It's all to make us who we were meant to become. And I have taken that little personality test that our church likes to do, and that's the sanguine and choleric and all that. And I happen to be sanguine and melancholy. Well, those really fight each other. And so I like to be happy all the time, but then sometimes, you know, you just don't want to be happy. You just want to go, I don't want to be happy today. And the devil says, why bother? Why bother? And you get bombarded with all the things in this life, and then Jesus says, just believe. I am here for you. No negativity, only faith. Believe. So I just want to share very quickly, I promise, about praying through the sanctuary. A dear, dear friend of mine did a lot of study in the sanctuary, and she used to do classes on it. And I used to go to those classes over and over and over because every single time I learned something new, and it was so beautiful. So, you know, we're to enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So I always try to start my prayer that way. And the Bible says that God inhabits our praise.
Amen.
Oh, how beautiful is that? So when I don't feel like he's with me, I just praise him, even if I don't feel like it. And he inhabits our praise. As my friend Miriam always says, praise the Lord in the middle of the fire. And it's so true. He's there, no matter what. And then we go to the altar of sacrifice. And that's where we lay our burdens and our sins at the feet of Jesus and thank him for his sacrifice and confess our sins. And then we go to the laver, where we get to be rebaptized again with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then we go into the holy place, and we have the bread of life, which represents the word of God. And what does Jesus say? He says, I am the bread of life. And so that's the time when I get out my Bible and I search for whatever it is he wants to show me that day. And it's often quite meaningful to that, whatever I'm going through in my life. He just has a way of doing that. And then we go to the candlestick, and the candlestick represents light, which is given by the olive oil, which represents the Holy Spirit. But the light is us, and we are to be his witnesses. We are to be the light of the world, right?
Amen.
And so when I don't feel I really have a purpose, I remember that. I am to be God's witness, and I try really hard with his help. And then, of course, we go to the prayer in, you know, altar of prayer, which represents our prayers going up to the Father. And George gave us a really good, he just said illustration, thank you, today about how the curtain, I didn't realize this, the curtain didn't go to the top that separated the holy from the most holy, because those prayers going up in the form of the smoke, we're going over that curtain into the most holy place. I thought that was really beautiful. So our prayers, that represents our prayers going up to God.
Amen.
And then we have last but not least, we have the most holy place. And that's where the most important things are. We have the Ark of the Covenant, which and the mercy seat. I mean, how God combines all these things together is so beautiful for us. Amen. Who are me, I'm so simple-minded. And to me, it's just overwhelming at times how he can have the law of God in there, which is so perfect, and then the mercy seat on top of it to represent that he is mercy. Amen. You know, there's everything goes together. But anyway, that's how I try to pray and what God does for me in my life, and it's really beautiful.
I really love the sanctuary as a model of mm-hmm. prayer, and it's all about our walking to the throne of God, our journey to God. And he says, as we read there in Jeremiah 29, if you will seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you.
That's right.
And I will listen. Mm-hmm. And I will answer. Thank you, Debbie. Thank you, John and Effie, for sharing in this sermon experience today. Conversations live. God is using so many different ways to help us to have a relationship with him. Conversations is all about relationship. Amen? Knowing that you can go to God with every detail of your life. He's not going to throw you out. Remember, it was the Father there in Luke 15 that was waiting for the Son to come to himself and come back home. Today we want to end our service with the Lord's Prayer. Because Jesus' model prayer covers all the different needs that we could possibly have, doesn't it? We could spend days and years studying this prayer and find new different windows into God's love and his aspects. So let's pray together here in from the Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And dear Lord, thank you today for the way that you have spoken to each one of us. We're thankful for the way you've ministered to Janice and John and Debbie and through the years. I thank you for the way that you've blessed Evangelina and myself. We've seen your hand of mercy, your hand of guidance, knowing that there has been nothing that's too difficult for you. You are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think, according to the power that works within us. Lord, we do want to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, because we know it's not by our might nor by our power, but it's by your Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Lord, today as we have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we're reminded that you want each one of us to be in a close positive relationship with you. And I ask, dear Lord, that if there is one person here today who says, I want to come back home. I want to come back to the family of God. I want to be a part of God's eternal kingdom. And I want that kingdom to be established in my heart and in my life even right now. If there's just one person here, just raise your hand. God will see it. I'm not even going to look. God knows your heart. God knows your need. And He welcomes you home and He says, come home, my child, my son, my daughter. Come and let's journey together. Let's journey through this conversation of prayer into the most holy place where I invite you to sit down with me on this throne, the throne of the universe. Lord, what a privilege we have of being there together with you. Help us to always recognize that you're our God and we're your kids. And that you want us to be your witnesses, your light to shine throughout this world. And Lord, we want to praise you and give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've made a decision for God and you want to talk with one of the elders, there's going to be an elder at each one of the corners. God is good. God is good how often? All the time. May God bless you and keep you. May God walk with you and make His face shine upon you this day and always. Amen.